You are tuning into Immuno-Oncology Talks, the podcast about immunotherapy treatments for cancer and hematological malignancies.
Welcome to the first episode of the Immuno-Oncology Podcast. I am Jon Tsai from the Specialty Care Medical Department of Sanofi North Europe. And together with me here today in the studio, I have my colleague Alistair Fernandez, also from Sanofi, and our two guests, Professor Hans-Gustav Ljunggren and Associate Professor Evren Alici from Karolinska Institutet. Today's topic is the biology of natural killer cells, also known as NK cells, which are an important part of the immune system and the defense against both viral infections and malignant conditions. The reason why we have Hans-Gustav and Evren as guests today is because these NK cells were actually discovered and characterized around 50 years ago at Karolinska Institutet, which since then has been an important center for NK cell research. So just to start then, what are actually NK cells and why are they part of both the innate and acquired immune system?
Well, they are a type of white blood cell, type of leukocyte, and among the leukocytes, they are part of the lymphocytes. And they, peripheral blood, they make up about 30% of all lymphocytes. But they do not only reside in peripheral blood, they also reside in tissues. Some of the NK cells that we found out in the tissues are migrating from the blood in and out through the tissues, while other NK cells that have been characterized a little bit more recently seem to be born in peripheral tissues. They live there and they die there and have very, shall we say, tissue-specific local effects. And then to the second question concerning their belonging to the innate or adaptive immune system, it's so that they classically have been identified as innate immune cells. And they are innate in the sense of not expressing any rearranged receptor genes like the T cells do, the T cell receptor, or like the B cells do, the immunoglobulins. But there are other features that sort of discriminate more innate from adaptive cells, and that is the ability to remember what you have recognized, memory. And about 20 years ago, it was identified that NK cells and more recently also other types of immune cells have features of immunological memory. So I think it's fair to still characterize them as innate cells, but with adaptive features. And when they are grouped among all the other cells in blood or in lymphoid organs, they sort of are normally placed a little bit in between. The myeloid cells a little bit more innate lymphocytes being in between, and then T and B cells being sort of very adaptive.
If we look at the history, since they were discovered at the Karolinska Institute around 50 years ago, how were they discovered and what was the function?
Well, I should first say that we shall also give some credit to scientists at the NIH in the US, because there was a parallel discovery there. KI has gotten quite much recognition for the discovery, in part because of the naming of the cells. But they were discovered by Rolf Kiesling, still being a professor at the Karolinska. His PhD project was actually to study T-cell reactivity in mice. It was known that you could elicit T-cell responses by immunization procedures. And as controls, you had essentially studied white blood cells from non-immunized mice. And it turned out that these lymphocytes from non-immunized mice rendered quite some significant cytotoxic activity. And this was annoying for many years, but it was realized by Rolf and his collaborators, Hans Wexell, Eva Klein, and others, that maybe this was due to a new type of cell. And Rolf, who was a grad student at the time, set out to characterize this cell that mediated this type of so-called spontaneous cytotoxic activity more in detail. And that was the beginning. And then the cells were named NK cells at KI. They were actually first named NKL cells, L for lymphoma, because they studied the leukemic cells or lymphoma-derived cells in mice. As Rolf has recapitulated it, Eva sort of found it a bit challenging to call them NK cells for lymphoma, as they were called. So she sort of suggested, just as they were about to submit the very first paper, that they should rename the cells to natural killer cells only. In parallel, at the NIH, similar type of reactivity and similar type of cells were kind of known as N-cells also, but that name really never took off. So they became natural killer cells, or NK cells in short.
Okay, thanks. Then moving on to the function of the NK cells, the different models to explain how they work and how they recognize what is the self and the non-self, then what does this actually mean?
So classically, immunology and adaptive immunology has been the science of self-non-self discrimination. The immune system is there to recognize something foreign. But NK cells, as it was sort of later in the late 1980s and beginning 1990s, work in a slightly different way. They express both triggering receptors and inhibitory receptors. And it turned out that it was the inhibitory receptors that were discovered first. And they have MHC class 1 molecules as ligands. So it means that whenever an NK cell recognizes a self MHC class 1 molecule, they are inhibited. But if class 1 expression is gone, as it is in many tumors, or in context of an allogeneic transplant, these inhibitory receptors might not recognize the allogeneic cells or the absence of self MHC class 1, and then they are triggered. So initially, sort of having identified the function of inhibitory receptors, we thought that they were kind of tonically activated and killed whenever there was no self present. But it turns out that it's a little bit more complicated. They also do express activating receptors. So triggering of an activating receptor or combination of activating receptors is necessary for NK cell recognition. And those activating receptors express ligands that are not normally expressed on normal cells, but are often ligands that are induced on so-called stressed cells. It can be a virus-infected cell or a transformed cell. So to summarize up, NK cells are recognizing target cells via activating receptors and are regulated by inhibitory receptors. And more recently, we have actually understood that in the case of T cells, their activating receptor, the T cell receptor, was described first. But NK T cells are also sort of calibrated by inhibitory receptors, some of which you interfere with when you use so-called checkpoint inhibitors. So the two type of cells are quite similar, actually, but the discovery of their recognition structures went through different paths.
Could you say that NK cells recognize either viral infected cells or malignant cells by the same mechanism and actually kill them also?
Yes, right. It's and it's exactly the same thing for T cells, actually. The T cell doesn't know if the cell that they recognize is a tumor cell or a virus infected cell. They are triggered by a foreign peptide presented by a class 1 molecule. So, yeah, mechanistically, it operates virtually the same way.
So regarding the NK cells, how do they kill other cells? What's the mechanism?
Well, basically, they kill their target cells in a way that is very similar to cytotoxic T cells. They share the same cytotoxic mechanism. You can divide killing into, let's say, two major types of killing. One is mediated by the perforin granzyme system, where perforin pore-forming proteins are secreted by NK cells, which allow enzymes like granzymes to enter target cells, which induce an apoptotic cell death mechanism. But NK cells also include certain receptors in ways that they can kill target cells via fast-fast ligand-mediated killing or via TRAIL and TRAIL receptors. Not very different from T cells.
So do NK cells have any other functions apart from their cytotoxic potential?
Oh, indeed they have. They are potent producers of cytokines. Actually, NK cells do respond very well to cytokines, like beta interferons, but also IL-12, IL-18, IL-21, etc. And then they are major producers of cytokines like interferon gamma, TNF-alpha, for example.
Are there any other specific functions that the NK cells might have? I've heard something about that they're involved in pregnancy or...
Yeah, this is an interesting question. And like many systems in biology, and given the fact that we have rather few genes, many of them have, during different phases through life, different functions. So during pregnancy, the uterus is seeded with NK cells, and their NK cells, via their production of interferon gamma, regulate the production or the stimulation of the growth of so-called spiral arteries, the arteries that through which blood is sort of feeding the fetus with oxygen and nutrients. And normally this regulation works very fine, but in certain genetic combinations between the father and the mother, it does not work so fine, and you get an effect in the formation of these spiral arteries, and that may lead to certain type of pregnancy-associated diseases like preeclampsia, for example. So yes, they do carry out other quite different functions in the body as well.
Are there any specific medical conditions where NK cells have an impaired function, either as a primary cause or secondary to something else?
Yes, indeed, there are. There are a few people born without NK cells, and they are characterized by suffering from severe viral infections, in particular herpes virus infections, early in life, particularly during adolescence period, when you get infected with viruses like EBV, CMV, etc. Some of them have also reported conditions of papillomavirus infections in particular, but in particular high susceptibility, sometimes life-threatening susceptibility to herpes virus infections is a characteristic of these patients. They are very rare, I shall say. Then to secondary effects affecting NK cells, it's of course so that tumor conditions, condition of severe cancer, has severe impacts on many aspects of the immune system, including the NK cell system, which is often highly immunosuppressed during human cancer conditions. And the same is, of course, the case in patients being under immunosuppressive treatments, affecting more general immunosuppressive treatments, affecting also NK cells like steroids, for example.
Is it both that you can actually see a decrease in the count of, I mean, the amount of cells and also the function? I mean, the NK cells are 10% of leukocytes, something like that, normally.
Yeah, that's a good question. So when it comes to the primary immunodeficiencies, they're actually those that impair the production of cells at all. So there are no NK cells, but they're also those that impair their function, that, for example, limit their cytotoxic capacity. With regards to secondary immunodeficiencies, I would say it's probably both, but maybe in particular functional impairment.
Okay, moving to the opposite then, too many NK cells. As I understand, hematological malignancies with overproduction of NK cells is uncommon as compared to other lymphoid malignancies. So why is that?
Yeah, so NK cell malignancies are quite uncommon. But they do exist, and they do exist in form of acute leukemias, but also in the form of lymphomas. I shall say that although they are very uncommon, they are relatively more prevalent in certain regions of the world, in particular Southeast Asia, where quite a few of them are associated with EBV infection. Even though I shall say that we know quite little yet about their pathogenesis in general.
Is there anything more you can say about impaired NK cell function secondary to malignant conditions?
Yeah, there's quite a lot to say, and maybe everyone could fill in here who is really an expert on the field. So
tumor-induced NK cell dysfunctions are pretty well established, and they can be divided, as Hans Gustav said, to modulation of activating receptors or real inhibitory blockade. It could also be, just like you were asking, the decreased NK cell counts that are affected by the tumor burden. One of the big challenges that we have clinically is to figure out which tumor-induced NK cell dysfunction is taking place and how do we revert that. This is one of the big challenges of autologous and allogeneic NK cell-based therapies. I would say one of the big advantages we have had recently, as Hans Gustav was alluding to, is the checkpoint inhibition. And this has really opened up the field for negative NK cell regulators and blockade of these regulators. And they are currently being tested in the clinic. Of course, PD-1, PD-L1-2 pathway is definitely important on NK cells as well. But there are probably as important, if not more important, negative NK cell regulators that are impacted by tumor burden.
Okay, I think that concludes the first episode of the Immuno-Oncology Podcast from Sanofi. I would like to thank Hans Gustav and Evren for sharing their extensive knowledge about the fundamentals of NK cell biology. And in the next episode, we're looking forward to discuss how NK cells can be used as therapy in malignant conditions.
Thank you for tuning into Immuno-Oncology Talks, the podcast about immunotherapy treatments for cancer and hematological malignancies.